listen to the bass. It's the one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do. And the octopus says, moo.
Thank you. size group, I needed a host of helpers. So thank all of our helpers that helped out. Great seeing getting ready to back up the group. Just once again, also want to thank all those that provided refreshments for our choir every Monday throughout the school year. Let's thank our refreshment committee. And our esteemed drivers, Brother Joel and Miss Monica. Give them a good round. All right, we're going to finish out. This one actually was bonus. We were in choir practicing, and I was pulling up a track on my phone, and for some reason, this one just started playing. And they took off with it. Melanie looked at me and said, we don't need to have that. And sure enough, we did. So we're going to end with a beautiful song, Song of Praise called I'm So Blessed. And I think we can look around this room today and agree with that. We have been mightily blessed by the Lord. In fact, let's give the Lord a thank you for that.
All right, as the children and the parents make their way out, let's stand together and we're going to sing Lord Be Glorified. It's going to be our offertory hymn today, so let's sing through it, and then our ushers will come in a minute or two and we'll receive our morning offering.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in my life, Lord, be glorified today. In our home, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in our home, Lord. Glorified today
in your church, Lord.
In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today
in my life, Lord.
In my life, Lord, be glorified in my life, Lord, be glorified today.
We've all been blessed for the last 30 minutes. Would you join me as we pray, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being in your house. We just thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. We thank you for our blessings as a church, as families, as individuals. We just pray that you would continue to pour out your blessings on each and every one. And we pray this morning for our country as we struggle going forward. We just pray that you would be with those today that are in turmoil. And we pray now as we come to this portion of service, when we can give back just a little of what you so graciously given to each and every one of us, we pray that these tithes and offerings will be used to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Karen, for leading us in worship. And thank you, children's choirs, for all that you do, not just today, but all during the year. And Ken, for all the different choirs, children's choirs, youth choirs, adult choirs, praise teams, pickers. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. We are blessed, blessed, blessed at First Baptist Church with the music ministry in this church. All right, so Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 is our passage for today. And we're talking about salt and light. How can we be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? We talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so we spent time just like hopefully most churches did during March, leading up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Everything that we are, everything we have because of the gospel, the good news of what God has given to us in Christ Jesus. And so we celebrated that. And then we asked the question afterwards, well, what does that mean? All right, so just on a practical basis, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? As followers of Jesus Christ, God has given us everything in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, it means many things. But for our purposes, we've spent the month of April talking about Jesus' introduction to the great Sermon on the Mount, where he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If salt loses its saltiness, then it's no longer good. You can just throw it over on the side of the road and let it be trampled by people walking by. If a light is hidden under a basket, the light is no longer good. Now, he's preaching this to Israelites who were supposed to be, as Israelites, what were they supposed to be? The salt of the earth. They were supposed to be the light of the world. So those of us who are now followers of Jesus Christ, we hear that word. We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount, which we didn't even touch, but the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is just simply Jesus talking about, well, this is how you do that. You're blessed if you are poor in your spirit. You're blessed if you're persecuted. You're blessed if you are a peacemaker. You are blessed. And he gives all of these things. This is how you are blessed. You're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And then he just goes into just everyday, normal, regular things that they all would experience just on a regular, daily basis. Same is true for us. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, when we're out in the world and when we're faced with just normal, everyday life struggles, church, be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. We talked about loving our enemies. When we love our enemies, then we are what? We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We talked about what it means last Sunday when the Apostle Paul was helping us. When we're talking about what does it mean to... We use this phrase all the time at church. We use church phrases a lot at church. And a lot of times you hear those church phrases and you don't really know what does that really mean. So we talked about, well, what does it mean actually to be in the world but not of the world? What does that mean? What does that mean to, I have to live in the world. I have to, tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, this is the world that I live in. This is God's calling on my life. And so I've got all the different things that I've got going on in my own life. So what does it mean to be in the world? Yes, but to not be of the world. When we live in the world and we're not of the world, we are what? We are salt and we are light. I used a silly little illustration at the very end of that sermon. And it was an illustration that was personal to me about something that happened in my life a couple of years back. And it had to do with me as the preacher going into and spending some time in a bar. And so after that was over with, that Monday morning, one of our Anchored Adventures ladies pulled me off to the side and we just talked about that illustration for about 10, 15 minutes. And we just, oh, she really got it. And boy, she was really, man, I'm so glad you used that as a personal illustration. I grew up in this, and I grew up here, and this. And so, boy, that was just really, really helpful to me. Now, I also told the story this morning in the early worship that the guy in our church that came up to me immediately after the sermon. He said, thank you for using that illustration, because last night I was at a bar and I feel so much better about being at that bar last night. I don't think you quite got it. I think you kind of missed the illustration. So sometimes y'all get it. Sometimes y'all kind of take it a little to the other extreme. An aphorism is a concise statement of principle. It is a style of expression. Hindsight is 20/20. Less is more. Those are good illustrations that we would use of aphoristic language. How can I say what I want to say and communicate it with wisdom? All right? Now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to be able to speak with our words, to be able to speak biblical truth, and to be able to speak, think about Jesus when I'm saying this, so to be able to speak biblical truth, and to be able to speak it in love, which Jesus always did, and to speak in love truth that honors and glorifies the Father in everything that is said, that is the goal. Jesus accomplished that goal. That's the goal for you. That's the goal for me. To be able to speak biblical truth and to be able to speak it in a way that the power of the Holy Spirit with love touches that other human being, that other life. And then to do that in a way that brings honor and glory to God the Father. That is the goal. A great example is not just Jesus, but the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4. So these are final words that Paul is offering to the church in Colossae. And as a part of that final encouragement, he says in verses 5 and 6, live wisely among those who are not believers. So he's talking to believers in the church at Colossae, and he's telling them, this is how you are to live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, out in the world that you live in. Among unbelievers. Live as wisely as you can among those who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity that you have. Let your conversation, your words, be gracious. Let them be attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Or we could say it in an aphorism. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. And don't be mean when you say it. Say what you mean, Christian, believer. Mean what you say. It's not just words coming out of your mouth because you don't have anything better to do. Mean what you say with the gospel, with the good news. And don't be mean when you say it. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Proverbs 25:11 says, timely advice is lovely, the golden like golden apples in a silver basket. Ephesians 4, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, don't use foul or abusive language. So Paul is talking about as believers, as followers, you're living out in a world with unbelievers. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that our words will be an encouragement for those who hear the gospel. So communication is possible simply because we are made in the image of our Creator. We are image bearers of our Creator. But that conversation and that communication is never neutral. There is a misleading aphorism in our culture that says this, for example, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, sticks and stones do break bones, and they do hurt. But let me tell you something. As somebody who has been a pastoral counselor now for over 30 years of my life, let me say to you that words do devastate and destroy human beings. I have watched, as a pastor, I have literally watched people go to their grave devastated over words that were spoken by a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or a coach or a friend or somebody 30 years ago, 70 years ago. Words, communication can be used to absolutely destroy human beings. So it is not correct that sticks and stones may break your bones. that words will never hurt you. Oh, yes, they do. And they hurt deeply. We have been saved by the word of life that brought us to Jesus. Therefore, as Christians, we speak words of life. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and let your no be a no. Speaking truth truthfully and lovingly, even when addressing difficult subjects. Paul, Harry Reader, who has now gone on to be with Jesus, said, Paul teaches us to speak the language that is seasoned with salt, reflecting God's grace. The English language depends heavily on tone and manner of speech. By the way, if you get something out of this next two lines, that's good. But this one's for Joel, okay? The preacher needs this one more than anybody. The same sentence with the same words can actually communicate, Joel, two entirely different messages depending on your tone. It's not what you said, Joel. It is how you said it. Ooh. He says, speaking at the right time, though, means speaking according to the need of the moment. Consider the friends of Job. They said some right things and they used some right words, but they were ultimately destructive because they were spoken at the wrong time. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes 3:7, there is a time to keep silent and there is a time to speak. James said it this way in the New Testament, be quick to hear, slow to speak. He says it is essential in redemptive communication to convey wisdom from our hearts then to others. Christians must not simply speak to hear themselves talk, nor should we communicate only to relieve ourselves of a burden. Redemptive communication is not for self-gratification, but it is for the recipient's edification. James is clear when he says that the tongue is difficult to control and has great impact when used. If it speaks from a heart full of sin, it will pour out poison. If it speaks from a heart seasoned with salt of grace, it will pour out wisdom from above. So let's finish with an aphorism that says, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem right here with the heart. Choosing to say what to say. Choosing the right way to say it. At the right time to say it. For the right reason to say it. Helps us to be then the salt of the earth. It helps us to be the light of the world. J.C. Ryle of the 19th century England said, speak the truth in love. Truth without love is barbarity. Love without truth is cruelty. Speak the truth in love. Truth, then, is the skeleton, if you will. If you're building a house, you need a foundation, and then you need a structure. So truth is our structure. God gives to us His Word. From Genesis to Revelation, the gospel, all through the Old Testament, it points to the gospel. The New Testament is the gospel. Everything points to who God is and what He has done for us in Christ Jesus. And that truth is then our foundation. It is the walls. It is the structure. Truth, then, without the heart of the gospel, the good news, is barbarity. The good news, the heart, without the structure, then, is cruelty. Man, what a great, great word. Salt and light in our words makes a huge difference. Jesus Himself said this, I am the light of the world. If you follow Me, you will not have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. If you are in Christ Jesus by faith, then you reflect His light and you reflect it to a world that needs light. And you are salt in a world that needs the flavor, my goodness, needs the flavor of the gospel. We glorify our Father in heaven when we worship Him and when we live coram Deo then, before His face forever. About 2 years ago, we started coming out of COVID. And everybody was concerned and confused, and you know, educational system didn't know, what's it going to look like? And health care, what's it going to look like? The business world, restaurants, I mean, you know, everybody, especially the people that depend on people congregating, we all were like, I don't know, what's this going to look like coming out of this thing called COVID? Well, 2 years now, we look back on 2 years, and it just like did, it drastically changed the educational system. It tragically changed health care. It changed the business world. Many new business models have been created because of coming out of COVID. Well, it changed the church too. Not just the church in general, it changed First Baptist Church. First Baptist Church is an entirely different church 2 years later after COVID. It's good. I'm not complaining. The Lord's been gracious to our church, but it's a totally different church than it was 2 years ago. And when we started trying to come out of COVID, we talked about as a staff, we need a reboot. We need to turn the computer off, give it a moment to rest, and then we need to turn it back on. Now, when we turn it back on and we reboot this thing, what's it going to look like? What are we going to do? And so one of the things that we talked about when we tried to reboot was FBC, First Baptist Church, loves Gunnersville. That came from our children's minister. And that was a slogan that he brought to staff meeting, and so we then started building on it. And one of the things that we did with First Baptist Loves Gunnersville, we did this thing called Outflow, where we would just go out into our community, and at the time we weren't talking about it being salt and light, but we were talking about it being outflow. And then when we would get done with Outflow, we would then pass out money to the church family and say, now take that $20 bill and go do something to be salt and light. I can still remember one evening when we went to do Outflow. My group, we walked up to a two ladies sitting on a porch. Yeah, I can tell this. We walked up to two ladies sitting on a porch, and they were sitting there smoking. So I sat down and had a cigarette with them. I did not do that. Come on now, come on. I didn't do that. But we walked up to them, and one of the ladies, they were sitting there just trying to figure out what, you know, one of the ladies was having some kind of little minor surgery, not even surgery, but something that she had to have done. And so the discussion between these two ladies is, I've got to come up with X amount of dollars on my own, and I don't have it. I got to have this procedure done, but I don't have the money to do this. So I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow when I go and I tell the doctors and the nurses, I don't have the money. Are they going to send me home? Are they still going to do it? Are they going to let me do it on a payment plan? What? I don't know. I have no idea, but I do not have the money. And I had exactly in that envelope, I said, how much do you need? And she said, I need $750. And I had $750 in that envelope. That was Outflow. Now that's what it means to be salt. That's what it means to be light. So we then would pass out these cards. Jesus loves you, First Baptist Church loves Gunnersville. All right? And so it was just an opportunity. And so we would tell people in our church, just grab two or three, four of them. For those of you that have not, you probably have seen them because I passed them out. I put them all over the church. I mean, literally, I've got these things, they're everywhere. I don't know if they're still around because the early worship people probably got a bunch of them, but they're probably still around. Just grab two or three of these, and it's just a simple reminder. It's in your car. It's on your dresser drawer. It's somewhere reminding you, hey, I'm supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And when I do something to be the salt of the earth and light of the world, I'm going to hand that to that person. I'm going to say, I just want you to know Jesus loves you and I'm praying for you. Whatever. One of our ladies in our church, I was telling this morning, one of our ladies in our church, she when we started passing these out, she grabbed a bunch of them. So every now and then, she just uses them. And she was telling me the other day that one time I went through a drive-thru, and what I'll do every now and then, I'll go through a drive-thru and I'll see one sitting in my car, and I'll grab it and I'll say to the lady at the register, "All right, I'm paying for mine and I'm paying for the person behind me." And when they come up, tell them that theirs has been paid, and then give them this card and tell them that Jesus loves them. This lady looked at her that was taking the money. She said, "Are you sure you want to do that?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Okay, yours and the lady behind you is $88. It's a fast food joint. How can she order $88 in a drive-thru? Do you still want to do it?" "Yes, I do. I still want to do it." Opportunities that you and I have to be salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. It doesn't have to be money. It can just be a friend down the street, a co-worker. That money's not the issue there, but you just want them to know, "I'm praying for you. I'll do anything that I can to help you. And here, I just want you to hold on to this because our preacher's been telling us we need to be salt and light, so I'm just trying my best to be salt and light." That's who we're called to be, church, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Father, thank you for a good word today and a good word for us through the month of April as we think about what does it really mean to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world, to spread the good news of the gospel in a world that has lost its flavor and in a world that has lost its light. Thank you that we are the flavor because we have the gospel. Thank you that we are the light unto life. Thank you for the good news of the gospel. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation that we're going to sing is "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you've never put your faith in Jesus, repented of your sin, and trusted in Him, then the invitation is open for you to make that decision. If you need to come and pray, if you need to join our church, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you just simply follow through and be obedient to Him. Do that as we stand and as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Seated real quickly. Our first Vacation Bible School is coming up. If you would like to be a part of that, contact Micah Gilmore, our children's minister. And right out here on the display is the sign-up sheet if you want to be a part of that. All right. Our Lowell Country Bowl, the next thing for our mature adults, May 21st, 5 p.m. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. All right. We've got this coming Wednesday night. Amy Fancher, our own Amy Fancher, and Jake York are going to be selling ice cream. Now, for the youth, the ice cream will be free. They're going to be out here on this parking lot. But for those of us who come on Wednesday nights, especially those of us who come to our suppers on Wednesday nights, we won't have dessert there at supper. We're going to encourage everybody to go out to the ice cream truck and buy a $4 ice cream from Amy and Jake, and so to help to support them. And we want to do that. That'll be Wednesday night. But you don't have to be here for Wednesday night supper. Whatever you're here for, you can walk out there and get an ice cream from Amy. Next Sunday night, May the 5th, is our quarterly prayer event. 6 o'clock, we'll meet in the sanctuary. We'll have just a moment or two of worship, and then we're going to pray all over the church. That's going to be our goal for this prayer event. And then I think, today, one of the best of First Baptist Church, Mac McCord, passed away last week. And so we are having Mac's visitation and funeral today from 12:30 to 1:30 is the visitation. 1:30 we will have the memorial service here in the sanctuary. And then we're all going to go to the fellowship hall and have a time of fellowship as we celebrate Mac's life. So keep that in mind for today. All right, let's all stand and close by singing "To God Be the Glory."
Praise the Lord.